us as a blogger, let's bring them on board. No, bloggers are not digital marketers. Digital marketers are very specific in what we do. It's like wanting to get a vet to do surgery.
Yes, guys, it is the Power Talks with Suna, Ronald, myself. This is a podcast that aims to bring conversations about digital and media business on a record where thought leaders guide and help us to understand the market needs, which will shape the industry for the very best at global standards. Myself and the team have created this show not only because we have history in professional digital marketing for brands, but we felt a call to action to share knowledge with industry players that this would be the right thing to provide solutions to aspiring entrepreneurs in the digital landscape.
How has been your day, John? So far, so good. Work as usual. These days, it feels like you wake up at 7, start working, and end at 7.
I see. It's quite a hectic one. And I know you do a lot of remote working, right? Of course, which is you use the Zooms and, you know, the content management, you know, softwares.
My work is from home. So at least I don't have to spend on office.
All right. Maybe just to talk about the systems that you use. Do you prefer using Zoom or Google Meet?
I prefer Zoom. Google Meet, for some odd reason, for me, are so clunky.
I get it. It has been quite a hassle today morning, but I'm glad that I'm talking to someone who has also been familiar with the, you know, with the tools, and, you know, so you can empathize. All right, John. So you have a good career you've had the past years, and getting to know you, you are still handling MTN. However, it's only me who knows much about you. I would just want to give people a brief insight of who you were and maybe also your career from where you started, like professionally.
Okay, I guess my path to where I am all started, miles for back, I would say. In 2000, I worked at an internet cafe. That's when I first got exposed to the internet. I fell in programming. I was doing
so you were the owner of the internet cafe, or they were...
No, I was working at the cafe. Yeah, as an employee. So the owner was actually my uncle. Got to learn HTML and PHP and MySQL, and got to learn some nice things about web development. So in my S6 back, I did a diploma in information systems management, and I went to Macquarie to do a degree in computer science. Then I did web programming for 4 years, from 2006 to 2010. But I got bored. I guess I loved computers, but, you know, programming maybe wasn't my thing. So I got bored.
Yeah, because I see you are in deep footsteps. You're putting your fingers in deep, you know, sauce. Right now, I know you are a digital marketing professional, actually one of the best. But here you are starting with computer management, you know, sorry, networking systems and coding. How did that go? How did you find that?
So I had to find what my passion really was, because in the beginning, yes, I loved computers and I loved creating stuff online. But I guess my passion wasn't in the programming per se. In 2010, it was digital marketing was very, very young in Uganda. But, you know, some of us saw that it was something that was going to be big. So we started fooling around with Facebook. I remember the first client I convinced to open a Facebook page and join Twitter was NSSF. And so we started doing a few things. Then in 2012 is when it really took off for me, because I joined NBS Television. We had a chat with King Karisa, the CEO. And he called me in to come and set up their digital marketing arm.
So that's the first time you're getting into a space that is, pardon me, that's the time you're getting into a space that is welcoming you as a professional in digital marketing to give you your first job. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was my first job in digital marketing, head of digital at NBS. So I came in to set up a proper department and proper systems, you know, set up the pages from scratch and everything. And between 2012 and 2016, we saw immense growth. And when I left in 2016, it had actually reached 1 million. So had 1 million followers across channels, which at that point was really a big accomplishment.
Exactly. John, to cut you short, but you are talking about meeting King Karisa. You're talking about how he's entrusting you with the role. How does he entrust you with the role? How is your CV like? Has he seen your work? What is he leveraging on to think that you can be the right person to be heading that department for digital marketing?
We just had a discussion. So we had a discussion on LinkedIn on what I thought NBS should be doing. I talked about live streaming. I talked about, being the center for all information, because at that point, you know, if you wanted something to know what was happening, you had to wait till 9 a.m. or the next day for a newspaper. So I
talked about
the media being, you know, fresh and on point. And, you know, he believed in what I said. He gave me a 30 minutes interview and that was it. I had a job. So it's one of the things I admire about him. He's very quick when it comes to making decisions.
Exactly. And so, I think it's one of the factors that has accelerated the whole team at NBS. I've had Danze Dijan right now, is one who is in your shoes, I suppose. Mm. Right now he's head of digital. I think from that, it was quite a good pedestal for the team to carry on with the works that you're following the structure you'd like laid out. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I think, you know, for starters, it had already grown. It was the most engaging brand event by 2013, it had already become the most engaging brand. It was, I remember we're getting engagement that was 50% of the following, which is unheard of. Usually it's around 30%. But even up to today, they are still the most engaging brand in Uganda. So, you know, 8 years later, they're still the most engaging brand. So that's a huge accomplishment for NBS.
Impressive, impressive. Away from NBS, please, carry on, please. Because I know there's exciting stuff in front there.
Yeah, so after NBS, I moved to Metropolitan Republic, which is
the advertising agency.
Yes, so I worked there for a year, working on brands like MTN, like Shell, like Eskom, Tanbic. That very year when I was there, unfortunately, Metropolitan Republic lost the MTN account, which was accounting for about 70% of my salary. So I had to either get a salary cut or leave. And MTN called me for a job inside MTN, not agency. So I obviously moved to MTN.
This is not the right, I'm just assuming, I have an assumption. Could they have seen the work that was being offered throughout the agency? However, they understand the person who's handling, the account manager is John Barrelecam and is doing extremely well. Probably they will say, if at all we pay him salary, it would be better of a debate for us to work with an individual rather than taking on a full agency.
So they actually kept the agency role because they moved to TBWA. They kept the agency role and everything, but they didn't have an internal manager. The last internal digital communications manager had left in 2015. So by 2017, when that transition was happening, they had 2 years out and a manager internally. So many companies like MTN need an internal digital manager to help push the agency in the right direction where the company is going, but also to strategize and you know, look forward in what we should be doing the next 1, 2, or 3 years. They called me in to do that, but they also still hired an agency with somebody who was in my very job, I guess, on the other side. So for 2 years, I did that at MTN as digital communications manager. And, you know, we did lots of stuff with
how
MTN.
How did you find, you're landing in a new company, you're from broadcast, your history background is media broadcast, that was NBS. You're heading to an agency, which was quite, you know, there's a lot to play with there, versatile of items and accounts to play with. So the understanding of, let's say, telco, I would presume maybe you have more knowledge now, but how is it now? Because now you have a full-time job in a telco. How was your transition there?
Well, transition was a bit difficult at the beginning because MTN's a whole different ball game from agency, a very whole different ballgame from media. It's internal complexities, you know, the way they work, the bureaucracy and everything is very different. So it actually took me about 6 months to you know, get grasp of everything that was going on around me, because it was basically baptism by fire, because I didn't have a time to first understand. You had to immediately take off because there were immediate needs that needed to be sorted out. Not to mention that the role had been empty for 2 years, so there was pretty much nothing for me to pick up on. So I had to start everything from scratch. So it was difficult for the first 6 months, very, very difficult for the first 6 months. But we picked on, we pushed, I think, for 2018 probably was our best year. You know, it was really, really crazy for MTN in 2018. Engagement went through the roof. Return on investment went through.
Can you share with us probably some milestones in MTN that you had, that you could brag about, and you can share with the audience?
Well, you know, we had some Pulse, for example, was a huge thing.
The launch of Pulse, I was there, I think.
Yeah, we built the Pulse app and the Pulse microsites, which continue to work today. We started.
Maybe to give the audience an insight. Pulse is a product for MTN which is focusing on younger audiences. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, focusing on youth.
Yes.
So
please.
18 to 25 thereabouts. Okay. So so the launch of Pulse, setup of microsites, website, blog, hiring an agency, do content marketing for that. That was a huge milestone. But also for MTN, I guess one of the other milestones I had was starting the project for setting up the new website, which MTN was the first in the whole of the MTN group to set up. So MTN usually as a group has a series of websites that they set up. So so this was version 3.0, I guess. Version 2 was launched in 2017. So taking off version 3, Uganda was the first country. And it was complex process because you have to get everyone's ideas on what they need on the site. You have to get the needs of the different business units and then ensure that those needs are met on the site. And all these are things that came up with it. So it was a complete process. It was a complex process, but you know, got through it. And what else at MTN? I guess another huge highlight for me at MTN may have also been, Gaga was also something huge because it was something that started in 2017.
Could you explain to our audience what is Gaga?
So Gaga, basically, there were bundles that were originally targeted to get people to use data on Wednesdays.
All right. It's a product promotion.
It's a promo. It's a really discounted bundle. So that was getting it to be consumed was a huge hassle at the beginning, but was big.
Then lovely.
Gaga then drove the usage of the MyMTN app, which went through the roof because it was then made available only on the app.
And how many years were you at MTN?
2 years exactly. As I joined in July 2017, I left 2019 May.
So where do we head to? 2 years at MTN. Where are we heading next? Where is the structure man who has been at the structure level of NBS, MTN? Where are you heading to next?
Well, where I'm headed to next, now I'm in my consultancy work, but when I left MTN, I went and joined another agency called QG Chansachi. I was brought on board to basically handle the digital media buy for government. So 40% of all government's media buy goes through the Ministry of ICT, which hires an agency. So I was handling the digital part of that. We did some, good campaigns for government. Particularly one that stands out was the Tonsembe campaign.
Oh, yes, I do remember. Actually, I think it was in our wake of COVID.
Yes, so got people to understand what COVID was, understand how it spreads, and then
I'm so proud to know that I'm talking to a person who was behind that. So it's quite very nostalgic because I remember even I tweeted about it. A good campaign, I think, has to get to a level whereby people can even market the product effortlessly. Of course, I was never on the influencer side, but I was so impressed to see government doing something like that. I'm proud to know that it was you behind that.
It was also, it also probably remains the largest. The largest bit that government has done when it comes to media buy, because we do media buy across all channels, but particularly on digital, government has never spent that much money on digital. They probably spent about 300 million shillings.
I do remember they have people like the Bad Black as an influencer on that project.
Yeah, so Bad Black was brought on to create content, although that was a separate team that did that. Several people were brought on by that team to come and influence on the project. But it wasn't just the video It was a massive media buy because almost every website, big websites, content
TV, site, radio.
TV, radio, newspapers, the whole works, everywhere you are supposed to see that campaign. So wow. We did that. It was a 3 billion shilling campaign in total. Mm. But for
And how long did it last? What gestation period? The timeline.
It was a 3 month campaign. But for
it was digital a 3 month campaign?
Yeah. But for digital, particularly, government spending 300 million on digital was such a big thing because.
Oh, it's 300 million or 300 billion?
300 million shillings.
Ah, okay. Understood.
Gotcha. Government spending 300 million shillings on any campaign on digital was a huge breakaway from what they were doing because
yes.
they were not used
yes.
to money on. They, wow. was, they were glad to spend that money on UBC, but not on digital.
So, yeah. And that is it was QG. That's QG, the yes. agency behind that.
Yes. So it was a huge Amazing. Thing to get them to change. Yeah.
Wow. So you've had a good transition. You've had a good, a lot of, we can talk a lot about the campaigns, but just to go through the practicality of, the direction of this podcast, I want us to discuss more and also self-employment and of course the roles digital managers have to play as well as other things to come ahead. But to follow through your career, which is NBS as a digital head, of course you went to MTN, you literally did the same thing. Here you are at QG and you're doing amazingly well with handling government accounts. So you're having a span of experience both in telco, in broadcast media, in government. How has been that? How have you leveraged that experience to date? Because I believe right now you're self-employed. You're doing amazing work. I see your posts on LinkedIn, by the way. I think LinkedIn is your favorite social media platform. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. It's my most engaging, so it's the one I focus on the most.
Exactly. How has the transition been? Because you're not, it's not like, I know self-employment, it's not like on guarantee you're going to start off with, let's say, an available product or an assigned company. How has it been? And how long has it been?
Well, I left QG November last year. So that's when I basically began the self-employment. So it's a challenge because you're not so sure. You keep bidding for different projects, but you're not sure if you're going to win them. Then the ones you do win, sometimes you have massive delays in payment and whatnot. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's also rewarding in that you get to do work with different people and you get to see the impact with companies that you work with. So particularly what I do is I focus mainly on digital strategy and training. But once in a while, I also do surveys for different companies that needs either surveys or social listening for different companies. So I don't Amazing. Get into content creation. I don't get into management or community management or anything. So it is strictly digital strategy, or as well as reporting or surveys.
You are a person now who has your deep fingers into the source. You have so much practice and experience in terms of management of digital offices. Help us and break down the roles of digital marketing manager of digital marketing, because I know it's a whole umbrella, but people don't know the nitty-gritty. Maybe you can give us maybe how many. I would want to look at maybe a list of 3 or 4 or 5, depending on those that you know at your fingertips, and explain to us maybe the roles, just to give us an insight of what is digital marketing and the roles played within the spectrum of management.
So there are 4 major roles, I guess, in digital marketing, other than management. First is digital advertising. You need someone to do proper digital media buy, and there are courses that are dedicated to that. The second is content creation and community management. This is the one that most people do. So, you know, creating content, posting content, responding to inbox messages and whatnot. So that's what most people do. That's community management and content creation. Then the third is analytics and reporting. So you can have an analytics officer, someone who basically looks at the analytics and then gives reports. Then the third is strategy. Strategy is someone who's now going to plan for what you're going to do and then show basically the tactics that are going to be used to achieve the plan. So those are
the nomenclature. With the nomenclature attached to these positions you've just listed right now, does it qualify me to be a digital marketing manager? Be a digital marketing manager, because we've seen men for holding the titles. Does it guarantee that like I have one skill, or basically I should have the whole cartel and then it can compound to my skill set that I'm actually now a professional digital marketing manager?
Well, digital marketing manager is a term people give themselves, but I think they don't quite understand what it means. But for you to be a professional digital marketer, you should have knowledge on all four: strategy, content creation, and community management, analytics, and media buy. You should have good knowledge of all of them to be a well-rounded digital marketer. I see young kids who have zero experience with actual companies calling them social media strategists. And I guess it's just yourself. It's like me calling myself an engineer and I've never been to school. You have to have gone through the actual studying. You need to actually go online and study. That's one.
And that's where I was heading to next. Where do I find these resources? How can I get equipped with the skills? Can you probably share with us? I know this podcast is not sponsored by any brands, but I think for now it's okay. It's goodwill for you to share with people so they can understand and learn and get this started, where to pick it from.
Well, for starters, it's Twitter Flight School. It's the best way for you to properly to get all the aspects about Twitter. Twitter Flight School is one. Then two is Google Learning for Africa. It's a very good. It's also another free course that is very good for you to learn the entire spectrum of Google advertising, of Google Analytics, of, you know, search engine marketing and all this, as well as SEO. And then there is Facebook Blueprint, which has actual certifications that you pay for.
And there are those that are supposed to be paid for, right? Don't forget to mention that.
So the ones before are free. Twitter Flight School and Google for Africa are free, but Blueprint, you have to pay for the certification. But the knowledge is there for you to read free of charge. If you want a certificate, then you must pay for it. But for Google Africa, you both learn and get a certificate free. Same thing as Twitter Flight School. Then the best, obviously, which are the professional courses, there's one which is CIM. CIM now has digital focused certifications. That's the Chartered Institute of Marketing in the UK. So there are two schools in Uganda that give those certifications. One is DataMine, and is UMI. So there are different levels. You know, you start from level 3, level 4, level 6, and level 7. Level 6 is an equivalent of a degree. Level 7 is an equivalent of a master's degree. So those are global standards that you can take anywhere and say, look, I have an equivalent of a degree in digital marketing. And people will respect.
Lovely.
There's also something called DMI, which is Digital Marketing Institute. It's based in Ireland, but they have a branch in Kenya. It's also a very good course for a digital marketer to take. They have a professional diploma that is globally accepted. So there's a professional diploma. There's a master's diploma, which is an equivalent. It's a level 7, so it's equivalent to a master's degree. So those are other paid for courses that you can take.
I know the listeners right now must be being flooded with so much information, but worry not. We're going to, I think, list the resource, this content in the resource funnel where they can pick it up and probably they click or they see the names of the particular institutes you've mentioned. Now, that said, you've looked through management, you know how a person needs to be equipped, and you know also the skills needed. And basically, I know that you have all these skills, you've passed through all that. Right now, you're being actually consultancy, and there are those roles you say that I'm no longer touching those because now I'm offering better and more professional services. Now, talking about remuneration and salary, in the market standard, it's one big debate, and you see maybe some brands cannot hire because they don't know the right amount to pay. What is the right salary for these roles you've just specialized, you've just listed with us, please? Share with us.
Well, there isn't a magic amount that is a salary for a digital marketer. One thing one has to look at, for starters, what have you studied? What have you actually studied? Secondly, what is your level of experience? Thirdly, what are your references? You know, how do your references talk about you? Are you someone worth hiring? And then fourthly, what do you as an individual offer the company? Because I'll give an example. So obviously, I would say I'm probably unique because there are probably about 3 or 4 people in the country who have 11 years experience in digital marketing. But, you know, there are different companies that come and say, okay, one someone 3 years, 5 years. And when you look at the salary they're giving 500,000. So 500,000 for any other job is an entry level salary. Okay.
That is correct.
For you, for a digital marketer and you have someone with 3 years experience, and you clearly don't understand what digital marketing is about, or what it can bring your company. And usually those are companies that are just, you know, dipping their feet. They just want to test and see. So I guess on both ends, they have to understand the value of what a digital marketer brings on board to consider what the salary should be.
Amazing.
Particularly one person who when I encounter such a person, I tell them, look, this is what I bring on board, A, B, C, D. These are my references.
What you bring on board. It's something that you use to weigh in your negotiation power on towards how much you'll be paid.
Yes, because I tell them, look, this is what I can do. This is what I'm going to do for your company. This is where I think you're weak, and this is where I want to strengthen. And then I say, you know, these are my references. Give them a call and ask them if I can deliver what I'm saying I can deliver. Then I say, you know, as usual, give me a 3 months probation period. If in those 3 months I don't impress, I'll be more than happy to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the salary that I can join for. So if somebody knows exactly what you're bringing, knows exactly what you're going to do for the company, and they can prove it with references that are reputable, then your request for a salary doesn't also become that crazy. But also we have to be conversant with the level that you are. If you're, because, you know, different companies have different levels, entry level, junior management, middle management, senior management, then executive level. So if you're entering at a junior management job and asking for a senior executive's salary, you also have to understand the company that you're working for.
Yes, and, like, and especially the startups, I think.
Yes. So you have to understand what salaries are being paid at the different levels for you to then negotiate.
Because I think this is not only helping people who are trying to negotiate their salary pay, but also the human resource managers on recruiting.
Yes, because human resource managers need to know also what level someone is at. For example, you can't want to hire me now for a mid-management or junior management role.
Right.
I have obviously already gone way beyond that. Okay?
That's correct. That's a fact.
So you have to look at someone's experience and make that judgment. Even me, I wouldn't apply for a mid-management role.
Yeah. So it's not even in lockdown.
Not even in lockdown. I wouldn't bother applying because I know they wouldn't meet the salary I would need. And if I go for the mid-management salary, I know I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, we're about to wrap up this. And I just wanted to have these last two questions. One, share with us your biggest lesson in your career and also the vision probably you hold for the digital marketing professionals in the country, please. But yeah, let's start off with your biggest lessons in your career.
My biggest lesson is when you're working for a company, you must always align yourself to the vision of the company. So that means that you have to go to your immediate boss and find out what is the direction that we're taking. Because the moment you don't have that from the very beginning, you're going to find it difficult because you're going to be working against the, you know, swimming against the flow of the river. So it's always important for anybody in any part of a company to know where the company is heading, but also have that very frank direction with their boss and find out, where are we going and how can I contribute? Because if you don't know that, then, you know, you're in trouble.
Exactly. You see yourself fighting with the company, yet you're supposed to be enjoying and looking at towards the vision, the goal that you intend to achieve as a collective entity. Yeah. So yeah, what is your vision? Because like you have 11 years of experience. What is your vision to the digital marketing industry of professionals in Uganda we see today?
Well, I want us to reach a level where we are properly organized and properly where our profession is properly respected. You know, having a proper body for digital marketers. We already have one for marketers as a whole. Uganda Marketing Society has been doing great strides to push the marketing profession. But I think digital marketers are unique and also need their own body. You know, the way doctors have theirs, the way engineers have theirs.
I think I should invite you to our, I think you are part of our group. We had a group called Top Bloggers. We're trying to establish an organization in that right. They've not paid for this Fukalango, for this mention, but it's one of the things that has been worked upon. So I think it would be lovely to be to have you part of it as well.
Well, there's bloggers and there's digital marketers. There has to be a very distinct...
Exactly, the distinction.
...between the two. So there's bloggers and there's digital marketers. So we can't mix the two because...
The bloggers. And that nomenclature has disturbed us for over... quite some good time. Who is a digital marketer and who is a blogger? Where you find, you are a blogger. I'm like, no, I'm a digital marketer. People don't distinct that. And you find also bloggers are influencers.
But I've never had a blog, you know?
Exactly.
Which I think now is probably wrong. I should, because then how do I mean, I'm a micro blogger, but I'm not a blogger. Because my posts on LinkedIn, for example, those can be considered microblogs. I've never been a blogger. I particularly want to be very specific in digital marketing because there is a hell of a lot of practical skills in digital marketing that people forget and think, oh, this person is a blogger, let's bring them on board. No, bloggers are not digital marketers. Digital marketers are very specific in what we do. It's like wanting to get a vet to do surgery. They're very different professions. Yeah.
Impressive conversation. Very knowledgeable. I know people are going to be thirst hungry for this podcast. It has been a pleasure and a blessing to have you on board. I look forward to meeting you because I know they have lifted the lockdown somehow. But I know we should be meeting very soon. You have so much of information and a lot of wide spectrum of experience for people to learn from. Maybe share your handles on people, how they can get in touch with you. And maybe the last question would be, it's the same thing. How would they reach you for consultancy?
Well, you can reach me always on my different handles, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. All my handles are at Babi Rukamu, so it's uniform across all. My email is john@babirukamu.com, so that's also another way to find me. And that basically, you know, from there, you can always get me, either my email or my...
I'm going to put these details in our resource panel. I hope that's okay with you. All right. And yeah, that's how we cut it off. Until next time, I know there is going to be so much learning in here on things to look at in the digital industry. And I will be very happy to have you again, John. It has been a pleasure for me. Yeah, that's it.
This podcast is brought to you by Greypoint Media. Yeah.